Lord God, we pray this offering is used for your purposes now and always. In Christ's name we give thanks. Amen. Please be seated. Scripture text I wish to share with you this morning. This is Matthew's Gospel, the 12th chapter, beginning with verse 46. Jesus was still talking to the people when his mother and brothers arrived. They stood outside asking to speak to him. So one of the people there said to him, "Look, your mother and brothers are standing outside and they want to speak with you." Jesus answered, "Who is my mother? Who are my brothers?" Then he pointed to his disciples and said, "Look, here are my mother and brothers. Whoever does what my Father in heaven wants him to do is my brother, my sister, and my mother." May we bow our heads in prayer, please. Merciful and loving God, as we are privileged to focus on your word this Lord's Day morning, we are grateful for the privilege to be called Jesus's brothers and sisters as we strive to uphold your will and purposes. Guide us this day and always. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Last time I was with you, we explored how Jesus cherished his friendship with Martha, Mary, and Lazarus, who lived in the small community of Bethany, just less than a two-mile walk from Jerusalem. But this Sunday, allow me to continue this friendship theme as we further explore Jesus' relationship to his immediate family, and somewhat to his disciples as well, as what we hear today helps us reveal how Jesus wishes to call even you and me his brothers and sisters if we are indeed willing to follow the will of Christ and the will of God. Now, all of us know that friends can be a great blessing, but at times they really can be rather troublesome, can they not? Three friends stranded on a desert island found a magic lantern with a genie trapped inside. And so they freed the genie, and the genie told the three friends that he would grant each of them one wish, since there were three of them, instead of the customary three wishes for one person. The first friend wished to be off the island and back home. The second friend wished the same. The third friend, finding himself all alone and feeling rather lonely on the island, said to the genie, "I wish my friends were back with me." Yeah, even Jesus realized that sometimes friends can be somewhat troublesome. But reading this morning's scripture, we feel rather puzzled in the way we see Jesus responding when he is told that his mother and brothers are there wishing to speak to him. After all, many folks are indeed blessed with very deep family ties, and we wonder why Jesus appears to be rather callous toward his mother and brothers. In our text from Matthew chapter 12, Jesus' mother and brothers are indeed outside. This is likely a house, a rather large one, in order to be able to accommodate a significant number of people, and there were probably people in the windows and doorways just trying to listen in as they could. And so a person in that crowd announced that, of course, Jesus' mother and brothers were there wishing to speak to him. Many of us would think that Jesus would stop his teaching to the crowd and immediately go to them. But yet what we see is Jesus pausing for just a moment and asking the question, "Well, who is my mother and who are my brothers?" Well, why is he saying this? Does he not care about the feelings and interests of his dear mother and brothers? Why is he not stopping and just going out to greet them and welcoming them in? Well, truth be told, It is quite likely that Jesus did, in fact, at one point or another in the story, greet his mother and brothers, but what we see happening here is he's using the moment as what we call a teaching moment. It's an immediate moment. And so he asked them, well, who are my brothers and my mother? Now, the reason why we don't know the rest of the story about what happened for the rest of the event is simply the economy of words. To write scripture text centuries ago was a very expensive proposition. And so the stories only give you the heart of material that you need to get the point across. A lot of other details are kind of missing. And the point that needs to be driven home here is Jesus' idea of who really is the family of God, if you will. But before we get into what Jesus said, we must first understand that previous to this context here that we're seeing, Jesus' siblings had already been quite hostile to the notion that Jesus was the Messiah. And they were not alone in this notion, for we remember that Jesus was rejected in his hometown of Nazareth. As Matthew chapter 13, beginning with verse 55, says, that they asked the question, is this not the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary? And are not his brothers James and Joseph and Simon and Judas? And are not all his sisters with us? Where then did this man get all these things? In other words, how did he get these notions about the idea that somehow he's the Messiah? And then verse 57 is very clear as it says, and they took offense of him. And of course, we know that Jesus performed no miracles in Nazareth because they really weren't interested in believing anyway. And we know that some of them even wanted to stone him and throw him off the cliff. You know, the side, the edge of Nazareth, it's kind of on a hilly, a rather stark hilly area. So it would have been easy just to shove him overboard, so to speak, down the hill. That's a hostile approach that his own kinsmen, if you will, had of Jesus. And during his ministry in Galilee, his brothers seemed to mock him as they encouraged him to leave Galilee and, you know, take your wares elsewhere, is what they're basically saying. And John chapter 7, verse 5 says that not even his brothers believed in him. Mark chapter 3, verse 21 then tells us he's back in Nazareth at some point, and the text says that his siblings tried to take charge of him because people were saying, he's gone mad. And even prophecy centuries earlier had foretold of the distrust that family would have the Messiah. Psalm 69, verse 8 declares, I am a foreigner in my own family, a stranger to my own mother's children. With this context in mind, then, it's therefore easy to see why Jesus stays focused on the intent of his teaching ministry and doesn't just jump up and go see his mother and brothers as if they were the long-lost relatives that he hadn't seen in a century, you see. But back to our text for this morning. Jesus asked the question here in Matthew 12, who is my mother? Who are my brothers? And then he pointed to his disciples and said, look, here are my mother and brothers. Whoever does what my Father in heaven wants him to do is my brother, my sister, and my mother. In this teaching moment, we see that Jesus is looking beyond family blood ties and is focusing on spiritual ties as he reinforces the notion that whoever is willing to follow the will of God is genuine family. Earlier in Matthew chapter 12, Jesus had healed a blind and mute man. The crowds were amazed, but the Pharisees were angry and discounted Jesus' miraculous powers by saying, it's all the work of the devil. Like his brothers and sisters and neighbors back in Nazareth, these teachers of the law were rejecting the true legitimacy of Jesus being the Messiah. And because of their rejection, Jesus renounces them, saying in Matthew chapter 12, verse 39, how evil and godless are the people of this day. Repeatedly, Jesus had been proclaiming the truth that only those who would repent of their sin and believe in the truth of Christ Jesus as Lord and Savior would indeed be saved. It is little wonder then that Jesus is focusing his attention not on the doubters, be they blood kin or Pharisees. Instead, Jesus is emphasizing true spiritual kinship as he points to his disciples and says, These people, they're my family. And they're my family because they do what the Father wants them to do. Now, here, Jesus is saying, you are my brothers and my sisters if you do the will of God. And we look at that and we think, whoa, wait a minute. What does that mean? What does it mean to do the will of God? And yet the answer is really quite simple. All we need to do is go to John's Gospel, the third chapter. This is the story where Nicodemus comes to see Jesus. And in that chapter, repeatedly, Jesus continues to use the word believe, believe, believe. And here in this chapter, we have the focus of the most precious verse of all, the New Testament, John chapter 3, verse 16, that whoever would believe in Jesus indeed, of course, would not die, but would have eternal life. And in John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus says that he is the way, the truth, and the life. All we need to do is believe. Believing. You know, casting aside the doubt. And simply believing, that is the essence of the will of God. And so he binds us up in a spiritual kinship that will endure for all eternity. And so that's why the sign outside still has the same words it had 3 weeks ago. Y'all thought, well, he'd preach. Hadn't changed it just because he's lazy. You know, it's too hot out there. No, it's been intentional because I'm on this theme about friendship. And we are indeed friends in Christ. As John chapter 15, verse 15 says, Jesus is saying, I call you friends because I have told you everything I heard from my Father. In other words, Jesus is saying, I've come into the world to help you learn about God. And repeatedly, in story after story and teaching after teaching, I have tried to reveal to you the essence of godliness. As you soak that up, you really are spiritual kinsmen with me. And what actually then, of course, transpired concerning Jesus' mother and his brothers and sisters? Well, first of all, we know from the scriptures, Mary never left Jesus' side. She is one of the women named at the foot of the cross. I don't think that Mary ever doubted who Jesus was. I think she knew that within her heart of hearts, the revelation that she had received, even at the birth of Christ. And after Jesus' appearance in his resurrected form, even Jesus' siblings certainly began to then recognize that he was, in fact, the one and only true Messiah. The text tells us in Acts chapter 1, verses 13 and 14, that the people gathered frequently to pray as a group, together with the women and with Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. So we see the brothers united here. Now, we don't hear much about the sisters, but we can certainly believe that they also must have really embraced Christ as the Messiah. And Jesus' brother James, he became the head of the church in Jerusalem. And Jude, he wrote that small book, the book of Revelation, the book called the book of Jude, and even recognizes that, of course, he is the brother of James. And so reconciliation took place, did it not? And even Jesus' kinsman, if you will, his blood kin, believed that he was truly the Messiah. And so for them and for you and me, as we simply cast away the doubt and earnestly believe in our heart, mind, and soul that Jesus is the Christ, and as we willingly accept Christ as our Lord and Savior, we should have great comfort in the notion that Jesus calls you brothers and sisters. And so I ask you, do you know where you are in your relationship with God? Do you know Christ as your Lord and Savior? If you don't, today is your day to come forward and accept Christ in a way I know your life can be transformed. Today is your day to come forward and become a part of the fellowship here at Berry Christian Church. I extend the invitation to you as we turn to hymn number 627, I Want Jesus to Walk with Me. We'll sing all three stanzas, please. 627.
I want Jesus to walk with me. I want Jesus to walk with me. All along my pilgrim journey, oh, I want Jesus to walk with me. In my trials, Lord, walk with me. In my trials, Lord, walk with me. When my heart is almost breaking, oh, I want Jesus to walk with me. When I'm troubled, Lord, walk with me. When I'm troubled, Lord, walk with me. When my head is bowed in sorrow, oh, I want Jesus to walk with me.
Next Sunday, we will be having our August fellowship dinner immediately after this service next Sunday. So bring some potluck and join us in that time of fellowship next Sunday. And may we bow our heads for a word of prayer. Lord God, as we depart, may we know your Holy Spirit indeed journeys with us in a most significant way. And it is our privilege to truly be brothers and sisters in Christ. Guide us on the journey as we depart and go about the task of this new week. Amen.
To God be the glory, to God be the glory. His blood, Christ has saved me. With your power, you have raised. God be the glory. To God be the glory. To God be the glory for the things you have done. With his blood, Christ has saved me. With your power, you have reigned.